Hi, this is Nick from Paradise Lost, and you're listening to Heavy Demons Radio.
So, dear Nick, how are you living and experiencing this weird sanitary emergency time over there?
I'm just doing pretty much the same as I usually do, because if I'm not traveling or touring, or I'm usually at home anyway. I spend quite a lot of time at home in between festivals and touring, so it's kind of pretty much business as usual for me. I understand that for people that go out to work, it's a lot different. I mean, my children are both working from home now, so there's nothing in the fridge at all. There's no food anywhere to be seen, so I'm visiting the supermarkets way more than I would normally do. But other than that, I guess it's kind of strange when you go out and how people, you know, with the social distancing, and it's a bit kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and you just have to get used to it and get over it.
Yeah, and talking about the new album, variety could be the keyword to the description of Obsidian. After two Back to the Roots brutal albums, is this variety a common decision inside the band, or did any of you pushed for it?
No, I just think when we started writing, it's just the way it turned out. The last album was a very specific doom death album. Yeah. That was, you know, what we wanted to do for the Medusa album. So for this one, we just wanted to vary it a little bit. I mean, it's still very much a Paradise Lost album. It's still a very heavy album. It's still very dark. But we just didn't want to do it something that's quite as one-dimensional as the last album. There's a few songs on this album that could have easily been on the last album, I think, as well. But there's definitely more variation in, you know, this faster song, slower song, softer, heavier, you know. But it's still very typical Paradise Lost, I think.
Yeah, and how would you describe the composition, recording, and the production process of Obsidian?
It was written and recorded pretty much like we've done the last few albums, really. I think we started writing in January last year, and we started recording around November, towards the end of last year, and finished in December. So, it was pretty much the same as last time. Greg McIntosh and myself, we compose. We bounce ideas backwards and forwards till we get to a finished result. Greg does the music, I do the lyrics. It's been the same since we started the band, pretty much the writing process. Only now we can, you know, we've adopted technology, we can use technology for file sharing. We don't have to be in the same room anymore to write music. It's very easy to share, you know, so it's kind of perfect way of writing songs, really, you know.
As a fan of 80s gothic music, I immediately fell in love with the song Ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of tips the hat to that period in time. I mean, you know, we grew up in the 80s. We were teenagers in the 80s, and that music was very, very popular then. And it was, no one really does that kind of music anymore. You know, it's still very much stuck in the 80s. No one kind of repeats it or anything anymore. So it's kind of tipping the hat to that era. I mean, I was always a metal guy, but I still quite liked a lot of the, you know, the Cult and Susie and the Banshees and the very early, you know, goth stuff. So it's all, you know, it's very reminiscent of those days, I guess.
How is working with a label such as Nuclear Blast nowadays, and what do you recall about the Music for Nations era way back in the 90s?
Nuclear Blast is great, yeah. You know, everyone that's working for the label, they're very much behind the bands that they're working with, and, you know, a lot of, you know, people who work with the fans of the music they're working with. So it's, you know, it's great to have that enthusiasm, you know, people that are already very versed in this era of music, this kind of genre of music that we're working. So, I mean, the same with, when we started with Music for Nations, you know, everyone there was very much behind the bands that we're working with, were fans of the music. And so, yeah, I think it really helps. You know, a lot of some record labels, they don't necessarily employ people that are into the music that they're working on, you know, and I, perhaps you get that with bigger labels, you know, with kind of big major labels maybe. Yeah. But I think with the metal labels, Central Media, Nuclear Blast, you know, there's a lot of good people work at those labels, and they really work hard for the artists, you know.
Do you have any, you know, good and bad memories from the 90s? Do you miss something? You don't miss something from those days?
I don't know, really. I mean, everything, there's nothing sort of band related that I can think of that's necessarily nasty, you know. I mean, yeah. There's all kind of things happen, good and bad, but it's just part of life, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's all sort of things, but there's been nothing that's just kind of horrendous. Yeah. I mean, as far as, like, you know, tying in with record labels, we've always been very lucky with record labels, you know. So we've always been able to do what we wanted, and we've been very, I know a lot of bands haven't been so fortunate, but we've always been lucky in that respect. But yeah, I can't really think of any kind of redeeming horror story, if I'm honest. Yeah.
Once finished this emergency, what shall we expect talking about your live activity? I've seen you will be doing a one-time show playing Obsidian in its entirety, maybe in Leeds, if I remember.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we got that booked in for the 17th of September. I mean, I'm reading now that, oh, you know, there's going to be no large social gatherings till 2021. And,
okay.
But I mean, that's surely that's speculation. I mean, no, how do we know that? You know, I think it's better to be positive than just be negative, really, because it doesn't, you know, we don't know the facts either way. So at least be positive, I think. Yeah. So I mean, you know, I think to plan ahead and to plan shows this year, there's nothing wrong with that. And if it doesn't work out, then, you know, well, at least we try to be optimistic rather, as opposed to being pessimistic.
Talking about the lyrics, Greg stated that you have like a cryptic way of writing lyrics, creating an air of mystery for the lyrics of Obsidian. How did you approach the writing process for the new album?
I mean, I write about a lot similar topics, really. I just, you know, I write about faith, any type of faith. I find faith fascinating, faith in people, faith in religion, faith in whatever, you know. I find it's always fascinating. On this album, I write a lot about consequence, taking the wrong path in life, usually life topics, but I don't like, you know, I like them to be ambiguous. Ambiguity is a good thing, I think, when we're writing lyrics. So yeah, it's but kind of tying songs down to one subject, I find it a little bit tedious from a writing point of view for me. It's, yeah, you know, there's always things going on in the world to write about, always, every day.
And I've always been fascinated by some of your older, less symbolic, let's say, lyrics, such as Sweetness, I See Your Face, Say Just Words, for instance. Were they conceived because of more direct personal experiences?
Yeah, probably. I mean, sometimes you can have like a huge life event that can trigger something. Obviously, that's a kind of given, I guess. But there can be little things, little interactions I can have with people, or you know, I could perhaps have, I could be somewhere and all of a sudden something happens and it just completely changes the situation, and then all of a sudden it is, you know, the tiniest thing can kind of turn into a big thing, and I find that thing quite an interesting concept, really. But yeah, I mean, the lyrics can come from anywhere, you know. The tiniest event can trigger me to write something.
Will you be working on any side project such as Bloodbath in the future?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we did have quite a few festivals planned for this year, but unfortunately they've gone by the wayside already, I guess. We were due to go to America as well this year, but that's obviously not happening now. So I mean, we'll be out again with Bloodbath as soon as we can, you know, and as for another album, we'll see what happens. But you know, that's kind of put on pause like everything else at the moment, you know.
What kind of music are you like listening to when you are home, free from the Paradise Lost duties?
Currently, I'm not even listening to music. I'm listening to the radio.
Okay.
I'm listening to the news radio channels. That's all I listen to at the moment. If I do listen to music, it's usually when I'm in an incredibly good mood, and then I would probably listen to a lot of the stuff I liked when I was a kid and growing up. And I still take a lot of comfort in, you know, the original bands that I liked when I was growing up. But yeah, there's still new bands that I hear occasionally that my ears prick up. But I still kind of like the original old stuff, you know.
Yeah, and which were the bands you grew up with?
Just sort of like the original death metal stuff, you know, black metal stuff like Bathory and, I don't know, Death. And the original death metal bands, the kind of, you know, the old school, you know, because I'm a bit of an old school guy, so I still... You know, I've still got my foot in that camp very firmly, I think.
Yeah, also something apart from metal?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know. I mean, I've been saying it for 25 years, but Dead Can Dance, I still listen to Dead Can Dance. I could do a playlist and it would still be relevant when I was 18. It would still be relevant now as it was when I was 18. It's the same playlist.
Have you read some book that inspired you lately or saw some movie? that inspired you?
No, I mean, I watch lots and lots of movies. I'm a big movie fan. I watch many, many movies. I forget what I've seen. I've seen so many movies. Books, I'm currently reading old Stephen King books again, because I'm looking at them from a different perspective now, because I read them when I was a kid, and now I'm reading some of them, the old ones, I mean. I'm reading them, like, as an adult, and they actually seem like different books completely to me, so it's quite exciting reading those old King books. But yeah, films, I mean, I watch so many movies, an insane amount.
Which memories do you have of, if there is any memory, about you playing in Italy?
I remember, yeah, I mean, I can remember most shows in Italy. I mean, we don't do that many shows there, so it's Rome or Milan and maybe a couple of others, but it's, yeah, I mean, I just remember playing in Milan once, and it was the coldest show I've ever played. it was absolutely freezing on stage. I couldn't get warmed up. I was trying to run around to get warm, but I couldn't. I mean, that was going back a few years, but it was like I just couldn't get over. And the dressing room was like something from the film The Thing. It was like,
yeah, that's quite scary.
Yeah, it was so cold. Yeah, it was. Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, obviously great crowds, but it's a little things you sometimes remember, you know.
Despite being in Italy, it was freezing cold.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was the north, but still, yeah, it was. Oh God, it was cold.
Yeah. Do you have any like final message and greeting that you would send out to the Italian fans of Paradise Lost?
Yeah. Take care of yourself, and I hope that, you know, the lockdown's over soon and everyone can get back to normal, as normal as we can get. And our album's out on the 15th of May, so please download it, you know, enjoy it, and hopefully we can get over to play some warmer shows in Italy this year, hopefully, yeah, but if not, next year for sure.